Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Denise Griffiths. I am widely known as a virtual assistants industry expert, and I want to welcome you to my regular Friday radio show entitled Your Partner in Success. My intention for these broadcasts is that by providing you with practical guidance, I can help you find and start an online business that awakens you to new possibilities, ignites your passions, and empowers you to achieve your dreams and live a successful and accomplished life, which is what we all want. Today, I am really delighted to interview Stephanie Oden, who is the Leader Builder. Stephanie is the president and founder of Livewire Consulting Group. She partners with small and large organizations to increase productivity and personal effectiveness. She does this by designing and implementing results-based systems. Her focus is on high-performance team development, and she advises organizations in the manufacturing and service sectors on how to maximize their human capital potential. Stephanie is a seasoned professional with over 20 years in the industry and is also an international speaker, a facilitator, an author, and an educator. She has been interviewed for business journals and Essence magazine. She is a thought leader on synergistic, I think this is what this says, synergistic leadership, as well as the creator of Emerging Leaders Network. Stephanie is also the author of Ready, Set, Engage, which you can get on Amazon. We're going to be discussing the power to engage is really about the power to connect. In Stephanie's words, real leaders get the absolutes off of the wall and into the hearts of people. And we're going to be covering a lot of topics in this high-energy hour. We will be talking about the power of belief, matching motivation with moment, embodying calm and chaos. Leaders as people builders, I really want to hear about this one. 6 surefire ways to move from success to significance, loyal customers, having a following, sharing power, embracing flexibility, be the leader, not the buddy, very, very important, and personal excellence. We are also going to be talking about the 8 biggest challenges new leaders face and what successful leaders have to say about their journey. So, Stephanie, welcome. I'm very excited for you to share your knowledge with my team, other virtual assistants, and online entrepreneurs and coaches. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, Denise, thank you for having me on the show. I'm very excited to be here and just share my passion for getting leaders to connect with their people.
Well, tell us how you do that, because there's a big disconnect for a lot of people. They have these wonderful ideas. They don't really know how to communicate their ideas and their solutions. So this is where you come in. So can you share with us how you really kind of coach people to get from point A to point B, where they're actually communicating with the people that they're trying to help?
Exactly. And what, if you can think back when I was younger, I had a set of Legos. And Legos are these, they're normally blocks, but they've expanded beyond that. And all of them have in common, they have these studs that sit on the top, and then under the bottom they have these tubes. And they have over 3,000 pieces in their portfolio, per se, and they all fit together. And that's one of the things that I really share with people, is that power to connect is being able to look at the differences, recognize those differences, and then connect those to believe in something bigger, to be connected to those absolutes, I will call them, off the wall.
Okay, so how do you do that? I mean, can you give me an instance?
Well, definitely I'll do that. I just want to help everybody understand a little bit about what I do. If you think about the Wizard of Oz, you remember the story with the Wizard of Oz, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay, and Dorothy.
My favorite.
Well, if you think about Dorothy, essentially Dorothy just woke up and her life changed. She was thrown into a new environment. She is now a new team leader or a new business owner or a new manager. And her team consisted of the lion, the tin man, and the scarecrow, right? I mean, essentially,
right.
She woke up. And her whole focus was to get them involved in this journey to the Land of Oz, which none of them had seen. So she shared with them, here's where we're going. And in that power of sharing that, she connected with them. And what she also did was found out, what is it that you would like to have to make you better at what you do? And so the Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow all had some area that they knew they were strong in, but they had somewhere that they want to improve, and she connected them with the vision. So they all went and started on the path down the yellow brick road.
And she also discovered that she was a leader.
She was a leader.
She didn't know it.
She did not know it.
That's brilliant. That's a brilliant analogy. I would not
yes.
have thought of that. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome, my aunt. And, you know, some people think, well, what is the absolute? Because I talk about, you know, get the absolutes off the wall and into the hearts, and just what is the absolute? Well, it's what you're about. It's what you're connected to. And in the corporate environment, it's something like exceed customer satisfaction, or our greatest asset are our people, or do it right the first time, which sometimes come off to your team members as blah, 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 blah. At same point, if you're a business owner, sometimes that mission statement about what you're wanting to do, that comes off as blah, blah. So our challenge is to figure out how we get that, those words, off of the wall and have it connect to a brand, what it is we offer, the experience, and help us connect to it so we can buy into it.
So that's where Engage comes in. You want to engage your team members.
That's where Engage comes in, and wanting to engage your team members. And the challenge that a lot of business owners face, as well as team managers, team leaders, is we have a whole generation of Gen X and Gen Y and the millennials who want to believe. They want to rally around, and they want to connect. And it's the responsibility of the leader to find that piece. Like if you go back to the Lego example, it's the responsibility of the leader to find that piece where they fit and help them connect to the masterpiece.
Okay. So how do you – I don't necessarily have this problem with my team because we're all entrepreneurs in our own right. And we're all individual business owners. But I know for a lot of people, they really do have a tough time getting people to see their vision, to buy into their vision, to feel their vision. How do you do that? How do you get, you know, let's just give a for instance, you have a team member who's just kind of coasting along, and they're really not understanding the whole concept. How do you talk with this person? How do you get them basically on board, I guess, is the proper term.
Right. The place to start is actually not with the person or the one that I would call them disconnected. The industry term is disengaged. But the place to start is not really with them. The place to start is with the leader themselves.
Uh-huh.
They have to be in it.
That makes sense.
You know, one of the chapters in my book is if it's to be, it starts with me. So for me to share that belief, the power of it, I have to know that my being, which is my soul, and my doing, which is my role, and my having, which is the goal, all of those have to align. That's the first step. So before I can communicate it to anybody else, I have to have that actual power of belief.
Okay.
Then
so
we
that
can start
passion
to
per- has to be, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, that passion has to be communicated effectively.
That passion has to be communicated effectively. And one of the things that I love about how we think and passion and how that all plays out in our lives is whatever we believe with conviction becomes reality. That's
that
one of the things that I love about success principles.
Well, that is absolutely true, and I have found that to be the norm in my life. If I believe it, if I can see it, if it's a target that I can envision and go for, I always get there, always, 100% of the time.
And
I think you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, something happens when you believe it, that communication comes up from the inside and it becomes authentic, and your people can sense that, so then they know that something is different. And so now that I understand that it's to be, if it's to be, it's up to me, then I can start to look at the person and the question that you asked, you know, what do I do with that person that is, you know, disconnected, and with the things all around us. I mean, there's constant change. We have to be able to hear what's going on. And a quick story, my son, when he was 12, we talked about business a lot because he was more inclined to do business than language arts. And in having a conversation with him, he was telling me about how when you listen to people, they will tell you things. Profound statement from a 12-year-old. But the most profound thing that he said was, if you open your ears, you can hear the world.
Oh. And he was how old?
12.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought, wow, your mom must be the leader builder. And I gave some of it to you because that was brilliant.
It was.
Well, for us to start to get the people around us connected, that are disconnected, we have to be able to hear what it is that they're saying in their actions. Sometimes in their actions, they're saying, I'm not good at this. Could you find something that I'm good at? Sometimes they're saying, I could be better at that. Could you get me more skill? And sometimes they're saying, this is a completely wrong fit for me. Can you help me find something else? And that's really matching, you know, you want to match the motivation with the moment. You want to figure out by listening to them how you can best support them.
Well,
don't hit them over the head. Mm-hmm.
Right. This is something that I tell emerging VAs, new VAs who are coming to me for advice and for mentoring. Find your passion. Find what you're good at. Don't try to be everything to everybody. Do what you're good at, embrace it, revel in it, and just do it. Everything else will come after that.
You're right, Denise. And one of the things that I've also noticed is that historically, when you talk about leadership, and the previous paradigms have been, like Dwight Eisenhower said, you know, don't hit people over the head. That's not leadership. That's assault. You know, you really want to motivate them. And motivation isn't one size fit all.
No.
Mm-hmm. What I recommend for the people that I coach and for the companies that I work with, it is so much more effective to encourage people on the value they provide and then coach them on the performance. I mean, it's simple.
Now, when you say coach them on the performance, I know what you mean, but it's probably something that needs to be expanded on here for our listeners. So can you touch on that a little bit?
Yes, great. Yes, I can definitely do that. There is, which also ties in with leaders as people builders. There are people that have strengths around you, and that's part of what you do is a great service, Denise. You're actually helping a business owner do what they do better by allowing them to work with you, partner with you, and have you do things that they may not do as well.
Exactly.
So,
my motto is to, and we tell them all the time, do what you love and outsource the rest. Your creativity cannot be duplicated by anybody else. It has to come from you, but we'll take care of the small stuff and the big stuff. But you do what you love and outsource the rest.
Right. And the other thing that you do as part of your service is emerging VAs. So they know that they have a passion. They know that they want to be a VA. So they have a base level of knowledge. So what you do is help to put them in line with the things that can help them be more effective and more successful. And that's the same thing that I do with my new team leaders, my new business owners, my new managers, is I help them understand the things that they need to do to be more successful. It's not about good or bad. It's about good, better, best.
There you go. So essentially what happens is when people either going into a new position at a corporate job or, you know, business-related job rather than an online entrepreneur, there's no playbook. Is that what you're telling me?
There
is no playbook.
There is no playbook.
Right,
and
they're just kind of dumped into it.
They're dumped into it, and the gap has widened over the past 10 years. And because there's no playbook and the rules are changing, which affects you from the other people that you may have modeled, the rules are changing. It really needs to be dynamic, and that's why I focus so much on that group, because there are just things that you need to learn that can really help your foundation, that will help you soar. I mean, cut your learning curve down dramatically.
Can you give me some examples, perhaps?
An example of one example is the ability to communicate, effective communication. The old school of management was walk in the room, have your first team meeting, and declare that if you would want to look good, you would make me look good. Now, I as a manager, I will admit that in my first position, that was my idea of management, because that's what I'd seen others do. Bang on the table, manage by authority, do as I say, not as I do.
I remember those days.
I remember in 5 minutes, I alienated my whole team.
Yep. And if you're on the other side of that table, you're alienated and you're not going to put forth any extra effort. You're going to do what you need to do, clock out, and go home.
And that's
it. There's no passion.
So what I found was they told me as little as possible. They did not put out any extra effort. And they clocked out.
Right.
What I learned very quickly, I would say within a week, was that was the wrong approach. Now, unfortunately, there was no coach or mentor to say, okay, here's the best way to have effective communications with your team. This is how you get buy-in. Here's how you communicate. There is no playbook for that. So that's just one example from my personal experience that I will admit that I did completely wrong. Don't follow my model. It's much better to understand, and I was giving some coaching to one of my clients who has just gotten a new position at Microsoft, and giving her the information she needs to go in day one and be effective and get the collaboration and connect with her team. That's part of my goal.
See, those are two very important words, collaboration and connection. If you don't have that, what you have is a bunch of employees who avoid you in the coffee room. And
yes.
They see you as something, they almost see you as a two-headed monster. You're almost not human to them.
And they will tell you that.
Well, on their way out the door, they might.
On their way out the door,
yeah.
They will tell you that they're not leaving the company. They're not leaving the organization. They're not leaving the sales team. They're leaving you.
That's exactly right. And I have seen people in the corporate world who make this mistake over and over again. They have to hire and train new people every 6 to 12 months and can't figure out why they can't keep a team. It should be glaringly obvious, but it's not. So I think what you're doing is performing an excellent service, because it, like I said, it should be apparent. Why it's not, I don't know, but it's not. So you've covered a lot of topics here, but when you're dealing with these people who just simply are not on board with what you're doing, it gets chaotic. It really does, because you've got a lot of personalities who, in my view, are employing a lot of negative emotions to a situation that should not be negative. So that creates chaos. Can you tell people how to deal with that?
That definitely creates chaos. And one of the challenges as you want to connect with people is you're really operating on two planes. I mean, you have this vision of where you'd like the team to go and what you'd like the team to look like. And then at the same time, you have the real-life challenges. Things need to happen. Products need to move. People need to be serviced. So one of the things that I have found most successful, and again, it's very simple. Talk to your team, explain to them where you want to go, and have them figure out what do we want to look like, and how does my position connect directly with our objective.
And how can they help you? Because if you've got a really great team, and you have been able to connect with them and share your passion, they want to help you.
They want
ideally,
to help you.
Right. Ideally, they will be going, wow, this is a great concept. This is a great idea. I am on board. How do I help? That's the team you want.
That is the team you want. And the other piece of what I do as I work with new business owners, what I've also noticed, there are a lot of new business owners that have come out of a corporate environment. And maybe they've been in a management or a leadership or an executive position, and they need to make that transition. And what I found is sometimes they're still carrying that same set of luggage.
Yeah, that
could also
mindset.
Be called baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start their new business with those same concepts that didn't work in that environment and really, really don't work as an entrepreneur.
Well, it's almost like a muscle memory. You just do what you know.
You do what
and
you know.
And it kind of goes back to you don't know what you don't know. And this is why I strongly recommend to my customers, my clients, to my VA team, to my web development team, is find a really good coach, because you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And I say this all the time, but it's a truism, or as one of my VA calls a Deniseism. You just, when you network with other people and you talk with other people, you find things that you just didn't think of on your own. They may be glaringly apparent, but you just didn't think of them. Find a great coach. Stephanie is a wonderful coach. I'm sure you all can tell this by now, but find a good mentor, a good coach. Now, I mean, we were talking about matching motivation with the moment, a few minutes ago, and I think that's incredibly important, is, you know, to just go ahead and be very, very in tune with what is going on during the conversation, during the moment that you have with your employee or with your team member or with your client. Really listen carefully, and Stephanie, I know I've heard you say this, listen, listen, listen.
And one of the other ways that you listen is not only internal. If you think about, you know, what do we need to do as we remain calm and as we reach forward towards the vision, the other side of that plane is always be recruiting. And you're listening, not only, you know, are you listening within your circle, you're listening external as well. You know what the gaps are that you need to fill, and this works. This is for entrepreneurs as well, knowing what the gaps are on your team and listen to see who has those skills so that you can have them come on board on your team.
Well, you had mentioned entrepreneurism and online entrepreneurs, which, of course, is my niche. I know that you do a lot of business with business owners and people who are starting new businesses, and to be honest with you, you're going to see a lot more people leave the corporate world, leave the business world, and go online and start their businesses and become online entrepreneurs when they grow up, which is, you know, where we come into it. That's our goal, is to help people grow up to be online entrepreneurs. So my question to you is, are you kind of not moving your business model away, but are you including in your business model a way to reach these online entrepreneurs, whether they're brand new or whether they're, you know, have been in business for a while? Are you reaching out to them? I know you are. I have to feel that you are. But I'd like for you to just kind of tell us what you're doing in that arena.
Yes, I definitely am moving out and reaching out to them, especially those that have, like you said, Denise, there are more people every day that are leaving the corporate arena and starting new businesses. And again, when I started as an entrepreneur, even moving into the online realm, there's no playbook.
No, and it's a very different world from the corporate world and the business world. It's entirely
different.
It's like we're almost on different, not wavelengths, but it's almost like we're in a different galaxy.
It's a completely different
environment.
Even just the communication etiquette. You know, I talk a lot about connecting. I talk about communication a lot. I've talked about that today. But just as simple as managing teleconferences as an entrepreneur are so much different from managing a teleconference if you've been in a corporate environment as a corporate manager or leader. They're completely different. And understanding that language, not being fearful of technology, That's some of the other things that I do is I work with new business owners. And one of the other things that I do is I understand my intent is to help them powerfully connect their vision and communicate that very well with the people that they serve and connect them up with resources in the industry that they didn't know existed.
See, that is exactly correct. And you touched on something that is very, very important because people who are coming into an online business who have not been doing this ever before, they need help desperately. And I think you are in a perfect position to coach them, to give them resources, to share your Rolodex, if you will, and just basically advise and mentor them because they need it. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time. You've been doing this for a long time. We know what's out there on the Internet. People who are coming into this environment have no clue. So I think the service that you're providing is enormously helpful, and I recommend you all the time to my clients.
Oh, thank you.
You know, new clients coming into the business, they're saying, well, what do I do? And, you know, I can advise them from my perspective, but from a business coaching, I guess what I'm saying is the business transition coaching is where I would recommend you because there is a transition from that corporate mindset to an online entrepreneur mindset.
Yes.
No question about it.
Yes. And the common thread with the group of people that I serve is that transition because things are so different. Things are immensely different when you move from being a peer to a boss. For example, I don't usually use the term boss, but people understand that term. That's a huge transition. Life changes for you. The same people that used to be around, you can't always hang around them. I mean, things are different. You're the leader. You're not the buddy.
Right.
For our online entrepreneurs, similar types of things set in. People wonder why you left your corporate job. Why did you leave? You were getting a paycheck. They don't understand it. So the dynamics of the people that you hang around are different. You're no longer a corporate employee. You're an entrepreneur.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, you find that you network with different types of people who are very, very passionate about what they do, but it's an entirely different mindset. So, yeah, you're absolutely correct. And people do come and go in your life for a reason. So I guess the best advice that we can give you is don't regret leaving some of those corporate friends, if you will, behind. You're not going to leave them behind, but you probably will fall out of contact with them eventually. But they're there for a reason, and then they're gone for a reason.
And one of the other things that I have experienced as well, that as I've worked with different companies and organizations and have been in the corporate environment, is when I have connected with people on the level that I help new managers and new business owners connect, you don't lose that when you transition because they understand that. They understand the passion. They understand the people that you're meant to serve. And even once you change, they still align up with you and want you to be successful. That's just been my experience. So it even those continuing relationships go back to the power to get the things off the wall, you know, and just really embody them so that people, they want to stay connected with you.
That's been my experience. So let's talk about leaders as people builders. This is something that I am fascinated with. It's one of your taglines. I love the idea. Can you talk more about that?
Yes. As a leader, I have noticed that some leaders, not the good ones, not the ones that call me as their coach, if they call me as their coach, they wouldn't have this problem. But they have a problem with their members of their team rising to a level higher than them. So they manage to squash them just enough to keep them under thumb.
Ooh.
Okay?
Ow. So.
As a successful leader, you have to let go all fear of people being more successful than you. I mean, real leaders do that. The thing that happens as a leader. When you're a leader that's a people builder and you take yourself out of it, unselfish leadership, and you help move those people up, you're actually spreading the message about the type of person that you are, because it comes out of who they are and how and as they advance. So the goal is to figure out what it takes to help them be successful. And I think of superstars. I think of how can I take a leader and just catapult them as high up in the sky as they can. And so we have a sky. If you think about the sky at night and the stars shining, my job is to see how quickly I can get my leaders to that point. So they're shining and they're twinkling. That's what's the success point. That's success to me.
Well, I've said this in other interviews. There is no scarcity in our world. None.
None.
And if you look at that, and if you look at it as no scarcity, if you look at everything that you're doing from a point of extreme generosity, your business will only get better and better and better, because when you help people, their natural instinct is to help you back. And I know, Stephanie, you've seen this. I know you have.
Yes, I have. And one of the things that some of the more seasoned managers do, that they want, when they want people to be successful, they tend to want them to do it just like they did it, as in uniformity. Just if you put on these clothes the same way, and if you go to meet these exact same people, you will achieve the same as, but not better. And the goal is not unity. The goal is unity. It's not uniformity. We don't all want to be the same, but we all want to be accomplishing the same goal. So the goal is unity, not uniformity.
That's actually very insightful, and thank you. Are you seeing what I'm seeing, is that the whole online entrepreneurism is that we're helpful to one another. We want to help each other. It's a completely different mindset from corporate America. And please don't misunderstand me, y'all. I have nothing against corporate America. I am a firm believer in capitalism. But it is a very, very different mindset from being an entrepreneur and doing what you do best, loving what you do best, and sharing it with people. So is this what you're seeing? I mean, I'm seeing a very, very distinct trend among entrepreneurs who work online, who work globally, who think globally. We just don't think the way that we used to, and most of us come from a corporate background.
Right.
We've experienced some really mind-blowing shifts in the way of thinking.
Yes, and the interesting trend that I have seen is the people that are what I'd call the real leaders, they exist in the corporate environment. And there are few, but they do exist. And I agree with you also, Denise, that what I've seen on the as an entrepreneur, it's much more of it. There are more people that want you to succeed. I mean, one of my coaches does a similar thing that I do. She works with senior managers. And only as an entrepreneur would we be able to sit down and collaborate and have her work with me to see how I can be the best that I can be, and her not being worried about me taking her clients.
That is a very important distinction, very, very important. If you're working in, I'm going to pick a government job because I have a very dear friend who just left a government job because she was stifled. You hug things in the corporate environment for the most part. I'm not making this a blanket statement. But my observation is, for the most part, people kind of hug things to their chest. They don't want to share. They have to, you know, take care of their projects because that's just the corporate environment. But Stephanie is correct. When you are an entrepreneur and you're sharing, what you're doing is you're networking. You're giving of yourself. You're giving ideas. You're empowering each other. It's a very interesting, I almost can't explain it. I really don't think I'm articulate enough to explain what happens.
It's an energy.
Perfect. Yeah, and there's a perfect
synergy
there.
It's an energy. It's an energy. And, you know, I mentioned that term, synergistic, and
yep.
I know Denise is like, what? What is this word?
No.
Synergistic.
I just couldn't say it.
It is.
I have mornings when I can't talk.
So do I. It's when things are in sync and there's energy that's generated. If you think gears in motion, you know, when one gear is moving and the teeth are connected, the other gears have to move.
Perfect.
And there's energy and there's a dynamic that happens there. And that's what I have noticed that happens more with our online entrepreneurs. And part of my call or my action or my passion really is I'm like Denise. I don't have any, I'm not against anything in corporate, you know, in the corporate environment. But I want that energy there so that they can be successful, so that the people can be successful.
And
that's what I want for my new managers.
Right. And given what's going on, if you listen to the news, which I'll be very frank with you, I do not because I have opted out of the recession. If you listen to that, corporate America is in deep trouble. And there's no reason for corporate America to be in the trouble that it is. If
no.
People subscribe to the notion that we can share, there is no scarcity, that America is a truly great country, that we have truly great people, that we, you know, we think we share, just go for it. Open your mind, open your hearts, open everything, open your thought processes. And corporate America, along with, you know, American entrepreneurs and global entrepreneurs, will do very, very well.
And we don't have a talent gap.
No.
I don't care what the news says,
well,
but
don't
we don't have
it.
A talent gap. Now, we have a failure to refine it, mine it, utilize it, aim it, but there's definitely not a gap. I know hundreds of just immediate talent people, and that's just the first level of my network, that are extremely talented, innovative, creative. So I don't buy into the myth that there's a talent gap, that there's not. There's how do we refine it? How do we mine it so we can really make those diamonds shine? That's the superstar. You know, that's the people builder.
Well, that leads me into the next topic, and I'm glad you said that because I agree with you. There is no talent gap. But how do we go ahead and we get these people to really pay attention to what they do best, and what their passion is, and where they should just catch on fire, get fired up, and aim for the skies. So what are the 6 surefire ways to move from success to significance, which is a very important topic?
Okay. Yeah, I'll cover those 6. And the first one is understanding that all businesses are in the people business, and without customers, nobody has any business. So we'll just preface it with that. Number one, we have to have loyal customers. And that means our employees, that means our team, our customers are sometimes those that we partner with to do things. Those are customers. They have to be loyal. And, you know, why loyal? Why not just satisfied? You know, why not just humdrum? Well, I would ask, you know, the listeners and those that are, you know, online, would you rather have a satisfied spouse or partner, or would you rather have a loyal one?
Oh, gosh, do I have to pick?
I would hope it's loyal.
I want all of it. But loyal is great, but why not satisfied, too?
Well, when they're loyal, we have a better chance of them being satisfied.
Okay.
Because if somebody is dissatisfied, they're not connected.
Okay. I'm following.
So we want loyal. We don't want them to be sad. We want them to think that what we have is unbreakable, unbelievable. We don't care what you throw at it. We're going to be in it with you. And that's what
okay.
the economy has to have. I
so
mean, that loyalty factor.
You want somebody who is so in tune with what you're doing that they are actually a raving fan.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what we want. So that's the first one. And the other part of that is having a following. And that goes in with whether you're internal, external, and I'll tell you the best resource that I can give people on learning more about that is The Tribe, reading Seth Godin's book, Tribe, because that clearly talks about even having tribes, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're within an organization, he talked about what the tribe is, and he talked about leadership. So that would be my recommendation to those that are listening, is make sure you understand your following and have one. I mean, I had people that I didn't have to recruit when I was a senior manager. People would come to me and want to know when I had a position available because they wanted to be on my team, and some of them more than one time.
Well, that's because you build a reputation.
I have a following.
Right, right.
That's absolutely
the best way to go ahead and create an online business, too, is to have a following.
Have a following.
And to have people who really believe in your passion.
And that
what you're doing. Go ahead.
That's critical in an entrepreneurial and it's an online business. And
absolutely.
Start the following. Part of the reason why I've created and am growing the Emerging Leaders Network is there's a need out there for that group of people. Okay, I'm going to go ahead, share power. That's the other thing. If you really want to move from success to significance, you have to share the power, but then own the blame. So share the success, but own the blame. Don't point fingers.
Again, I know what that means, but explain that in more detail if you don't mind.
In terms of sharing the power, you don't have to do everything. As a new leader, you don't have to do everything. They're understanding what your people's strengths are will help you know when to put them in a position that you can get more exposure for them, where you can actually delegate, not dump, but delegate so that they can be successful because you're a people builder. Owning the blame means I take responsibility that if this doesn't work, then there was somehow that I managed to not serve you, that you were not equipped. Now,
very good.
That's what that is.
Excellent, excellent point.
And then there's embracing flexibility. And one of the biggest obstacles for some new managers is the challenge from their people to do it the way it's always been done. And there's a fear going in that if I change everything, I will alienate everybody.
Now, how do you overcome that? I mean, while you said that, my mind raced back to 15 different issues that I've come across in corporate America. I mean, I've instantly revisited all of them. How do you give our listeners a suggestion? Maybe a
head on. That's the way I address them. There was one particular time when going into a different senior manager type position, I had the first person before me did everything, never delegated, was at every single meeting. And the responsibility was global. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think global, but I think the world is awake somewhere 24 hours a day.
Yep.
So he was at every meeting, every opportunity, burnout, didn't utilize his team, had no direction. The first thing I did was say, you know what? We're not doing that. So that's that boldness to say, that's that status quo. We're not doing that. I'll be at what's necessary, but then I'm going to leverage my team. That was one part. And the second part was the team. They weren't used to having to stand up or grow or deliver.
How much resistance did you run into? Because I can guarantee you ran into some, and some people that just had to go do something different.
One of the things that I did when I would anticipate resistance, and that what you can do is you anticipate resistance, is pick them off one by one. So I would met individually with each one because there's less resistance
there's
when you're meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. You get that kind of group hysteria.
Exactly. Oh, you cannot do it like this. Well, no. Let me ask this question. And then Denise, the question is, what are your expectations? Understanding clearly what the expectations are and saying, if I can guarantee that will happen, what else? So you start down that list. And that's true for our online entrepreneurs as they're going into partnerships, as they are making sales proposals, as they're meeting, if they meet with prospects. The question is, if I can help you solve this, what else would come up? So you're breaking down those objections.
Well, and that's exactly right. And you can't address, and I get this a lot, say, well, you know, I have a single question. No, you really don't.
No.
You have about 15 questions. Let's drill down and find out what they are. Because once you break down one barrier, then all kinds of things come up. So you have to anticipate that, right, Stephanie?
Yes, you definitely have to anticipate that. And that means you have to be flexible. There's no playbook.
No, there's not. And this is where people like you bridge that gap between corporate America, business America, and online entrepreneur America.
Yes.
And there's no reason why you can't do it all.
And
I mean,
you can't,
I personally
right.
have, right, I have clients that work in corporate America during the day, and they are very active on the internet during their off time, largely because we're doing it for them. We're their virtual assistance team. And a lot of them are making that transition from corporate America to becoming their own boss, you know, the captain of their own fate. And it's a very exciting time.
It's very exciting.
Isn't it? I cannot tell you how exciting, you know, everything that we do is. And in coaching, really, I'd like to address this. I know it's not in our list of things to talk about, but coaching, to my way of thinking, just kind of came into being, what, 2 or 3 years ago? Online coaching?
Online coaching, 2 or 3 years ago. Coaching was starting to go a little bit more mainstream where others were looking at it, I would say, maybe about 5 years ago.
Really?
That's when I really, people had done it, but they'd not taken it out as a subset and started to make it their own business. Online
yeah.
coaching has just expanded phenomenally, I mean, just exponentially, and there's still many, 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 many people. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Like Denise said, there's no scarcity in the
no.
people that we can serve and are willing to serve.
Well, let me ask you this, and we did not cover this. I would love to know your story, how you went from corporate America to becoming a coach. Can you cover that in just a few sentences? Or is that possible? Do you have an elevator speech? If you don't, you need one.
Thanks, Denise.
That's okay. I'm coaching you.
I love that. That's one of the things about having great people around you is the straight talk. I mean, that's the other part of what coaching does. I worked in the short version. I worked in corporate environment, senior manager, manufacturing environment, and essentially everything that I have known that I coach people on, I have been in it, I've done it. And so I've been the new manager, I've been the one that saw things a little bit differently and still managed to see, you know, to have tremendous amount of success. When I recognized the organization was not interested in thinking outside of the box, we had a mutual agreement to separate. And that was one of the best things that has happened to me because I no longer had to play down the greatness that I saw in people. I could actually play up how the greatness that I saw in them. And so I hope that answers. I gave like a really brief version. I had some great customers. I mean, I've had a chance to work with manufacturing companies. I've had a chance to work with service providers. And that's how I'm able to find the common link between all those groups of people and know the gap.
So you took your observations of the corporate world, the business world, and you parlayed that into a very successful coaching business for yourself and something that you love and you're passionate about.
Yes.
This is what I mean about online entrepreneurism. Write this down. I know Julia's listening. Write this down. It's very, very important. If you see things in your day-to-day world that, you know, just may not be working for you personally, but you know that you can help other people with, you can serve a community, you can build a product, you can build a business, act on it. Act on it today. Don't wait. Somebody else will do it.
Ready, set, engage.
Ready, set, engage.
That's the title for a great book.
Yes, it is. Tell us about your book.
Ready, set, engage really is geared toward helping those that we talked about a lot today the new manager, the new team leader, the new business owner, the new online entrepreneur. It is really geared towards them to help them understand, going back to that passion, you know, them being clear about what it is they're meant to do, and then helping them build their team as well. There's actually tools in the book to tell you step by step what do you need to do, what are some of the things you can do to identify what are the strengths and weaknesses within your team. Team doesn't all have to sit in the same building. You know, team, it could be task-related or job-related or some things like that. And then there's a strong focus on customer, because I believe that you have to know who it is you're meant to serve and how you can better serve them. And all three of those work together. And so that's how Ready, Set, Engage came about. It's taken that, what is it I believe, how do I communicate it, how do I get people to connect with it, and then how do I serve them powerfully so that they can be hugely successful as well.
Okay, tell my listeners where they can get your book.
You can actually get the book at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And the other thing that I have to help jumpstart new leaders, they're called Ready, Set, Engage Action Cards. And you can actually get the action cards if you go to www.theleaderbuilderrecommends.com. So, again, that's for the action cards. You can get those at theleaderbuilderrecommends.com. And they are quick. You read the card, you take an action, you apply it to your business or your position if you're in a corporate environment.
And I think that's important, and that goes back to what we were saying a minute ago. If you have the idea, act on it, unless it's a stupid idea.
And that
ties in. Take a moment and breathe, but act on it, because there are no new ideas, really.
That takes in, that also goes with personal excellence, Denise. That's a great tie-in for that.
Okay. Well, I don't think we covered personal excellence.
We didn't
cover be the leader and not the buddy and personal excellence. So if you could cover those.
I'll cover those real quick. We talked a little bit within our conversation about what a leader has to do, and I'll take you back to the scenario I was talking about earlier is, you know, in that transition, if you're going from peer to boss, it's extremely important that you make that distinction. And part of that is the communication, the one-on-one. You're not able to do all the things you would normally do within the course of the workday, but you make sure that they understand that the new standard. That doesn't mean you become the ogre. You become the leader. And so you engage them to follow you. You do what you need to do to engage them to follow you. It doesn't have anything to do with being the buddy. And then the personal excellence, that's one of the ones that I think is most critical. That was probably the pivotal point for me was understanding, getting a coach myself or a mentor, but continuing to grow as you're in this transition and grow as a leader, it's number six on the list, but I would say it's number one. As that new manager, you always have to be learning, always. You always have to be reading or studying. That's personal excellence, always striving to be the best that you can so that you can become the conduit and help your people become the best that they can.
Well, this is the one that raised a question mark in my mind because, like you said, it should be number one. For the life of me, I can't figure out why anybody would not consider personal excellence to be a primary goal. But people don't, and I'm a little bit confused about that. So, and this is where coaching comes into.
Coaching comes in.
Right. I think people don't understand that. You know, while they understand what they're thinking, other people don't. So you always need ongoing education. You always need to be the best in your industry. You need to absolutely be proud of what you do, throw your shoulders back, communicate what you do with passion and with excitement, and always learn, always grow, always evolve. And I think that's what personal excellence, I think that should be number one.
And Denise, you're an excellent example of personal excellence. I mean, you're constantly on the leading edge of technology and knowing who it is you're meant to serve and how can you serve them better and getting what you need to get whether it's video training, whether it's learning about new tools on the web, and then you make those resources available. So I can tell you based on us having met and getting to know each other, you exemplify that for your industry. And so thank you for being a model.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that more than you know. But we have got, do we have time to take a couple of questions?
Yes, we do have time to take a couple of questions.
I referenced Julia earlier. Julia is a member of my team, and she listened to my call last week, and I kept saying, write it down, because every time we would reach a point where we made a point where it was really important, I would say, write it down. And she has been harassing me about that. So I'm going to try to get... This is why I work for myself. Let me see if I can get Julia on the phone. Julia, are you there? It takes a couple of minutes. Julia? Hello?
I'm here.
Hi, Julia.
Julia,
hi.
It's Stephanie.
Thanks for calling in, Julia.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show and having the show. And Denise, I'm not harassing you about that.
Okay. I don't buy
I'm
that.
I'm just reminding you.
Oh. Okay, Stephanie, would you talk to Julia about leadership? Anyway, I'm kidding. So, Julia.
I'm like, he had to be listening.
That silenced her, didn't it?
That's another whole hour. That's for the part two of the Leader Builder.
I've never heard Julia speechless. I am going to frame this.
Wait a second,
Julia.
Now, I'm recording this call, Denise. Remember, I told you that.
I know you are. You have a question for Stephanie? Julia.
I do transcription. And I asked you, now she does have me speechless, because usually I'm a lot better than this. I mentioned to you about transcribing, and also I mentioned to another person, a VA, about becoming her business manager, and because she's kind of frazzled, and I helped her out with a really good project, and she was very excited and elated about my work and everything, and I kind of offered that to her to maybe get everybody together under one roof and try to keep an eye on things for her, because I know how busy she is and she has two small kids. What kind of suggestions can you give me for doing something like that?
You want to understand, I always start out with in that meeting with her, what is the result that she wants? And then what is the action that she's willing to take to do it? So the result is she likes to be successful, and the action is, okay, well, I need to have different people on my team. Well, then what type of people do you need to have on the team, and what's the best way to get us connected? And even if it's not, I mean, I've had managed successful virtual teams, and it really comes down to being clear about here's what the goal is, and here's everybody's individual tasks and strengths to help us align the goal. And then the accountability comes in. And so there's all kinds of ways that I work with people on how you can have that be as straight-laced as you want or as fun as you want when it comes back into making sure there's accountability and you're working to get the results that you want. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, very well.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's a great question. Great question.
Yeah, I thought it was too. Okay, we have a couple of other callers on the line. Do you have a question for Stephanie? Hello? Well, we have a couple of other callers in the chat room. We have about eight, actually, but nobody is chiming in. Does anybody have questions? Apparently not. Okay, well, Stephanie?
I must have just covered the concept so well that there are no questions.
Hmm. I think you did. I actually think you did a brilliant job of covering so many topics. I mean, we covered corporate America. We covered the transition from corporate America to online entrepreneurism, which, of course, is my passion. And thank you so much. You are a brilliant coach. I recommend you highly. And this is not something that I do often. For anybody who is listening to this and anybody who will receive a transcript of this, I highly recommend Stephanie Oden as a coach. So, Stephanie, thank you so much for being here today. It has been a pleasure and an honor. And I would like to have you back, you know, maybe after the new year and see how things are going in your business. Hello? I lost everybody.